believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laugh. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be the victims of not helping later. So first we want to acknowledge God's word with the scripture, and after that, we're going to get right into it, okay? I'm going to be reading Psalm 78:1-8. That is Psalm 78:1-8. And it says, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Lord God, we just enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for the Avenue of Blog Talk Radio and Bring Back the Family. God, we pray that you will use us and this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family in the manner that you meant for families to operate. Lord God, please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help your children to do what it is you have for them to do. They are your children. Please help the parents to give the children what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing we need and need the most is more of you. Father God, you have a day that bring back the family, concentrate on the youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion sober-minded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak and to them that are listening. Let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, train up a child. And let your glory come forth. So, once again, welcome everybody. Just glad that, you know, you're tuned in. We got to reach the youth so we can teach them. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth, educationally, professionally, and spiritually. In order for them to be good, productive citizens so that they can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. But we have to show them and give them a head start, okay? Like I always say, my dad said, all they need is a good foundation. So what are we going to make up in our minds to do to help our youth? You know, the issues are not going away by themselves. And, you know, who is going to be in charge of the next chapters of life, carrying the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepare them for the future. So we prepare them. They will be ready. So that's our job, to prepare our youth. You know, we're all in this thing together, and it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that you make as a parent when we bring these babies in the world. Because they're babies, and then they, you know, they start to walk, and then they end up, you know, grow up to be young adults. And they're going to get there. They're not going to stay babies. And, you know, we have to want to sacrifice for our children so that they can be the best that they can be. You know, what we put in and what we show them now is going to show up later. If we don't put anything in, if we don't make any investments in our children, no investment, no return. Okay? So what do you want for your youth, your child, your kid? What do we all want? What do we want for ourselves? You know, I think if we invest and sacrifice and put in what it is we need to put in, it's gonna help us. You know, this is gonna be something good for us as well, because like I said, we won't even have to worry about them once they get on their own and get lost. I like to give the youth what it is that they need so that they can get lost all around this world, because this is a big world. I tell them they can go anywhere they want to go, anywhere they want to go. Anywhere in this world they want to go. It's a big, giant world, and they could go. But we have to prepare them to go. Don't that sound wonderful? Yep. So back to the family. Like I said, it's focusing on the youth. You know, and it's time for us to do a new thing, start over, you know. Our youth is going to be like a whole new building, a rebuilding, a start over, a bogey, a new start, a redo. Refocus on what we need to do to help our youth, okay? I'm just excited. I'm just excited because I know that God has a plan for this whole thing. And I'm excited, and I just can't wait to see the results of listening and doing, because I know that you're listening, and I know that you're putting some of these things that we've talked about and all the things that you've heard on the show with all of the professionals that has come on and talked about their gifts and talents that they are using to help, you know. And somebody put time in with them. Somebody put time. They were little people too at one time. And somebody put time in. You know, it's a contribution. It's a sacrifice. Okay? And I tell the young ladies, I say, once you decide to bring a child in this world, it's their turn. It's their turn. Not your turn anymore. It's their turn. Because they little people. They don't know what to do, and we have to show them. We have to teach them. We have to train them. So it's their time. Okay? I go on Facebook, and I see a lot of these young ladies and mothers, and they have children, and they on their styling and profiling. And you don't ever see the babies. So I know y'all beautiful and everything, but it's the baby's time. It's his time. It's her time. They toddlers. They little ones, and they're watching everything that you do. So if you want them to be tagging along with you the rest of their life, holding on to your leg, and they 40 years old, hanging out with you forever, with nothing to do, nowhere to go, no ideas, no plans, no job, no nothing. If that's what you want, then just keep doing it the way that you're going to do it, just focusing on yourself. You have to focus on that kid. They didn't ask to be here. So, and that's how I think. Because I love the kids, and I think that they should have whatever it is that they need to make it in this world. Yes. I don't have kids, but I have a lot of them that was hanging around. They don't hang around. Got to make sure that they get what they need, okay? So today, last week, we talked about proper response. We really, really had a good time last week, and it was like backed by popular demand, and we're going to talk about it again because it's about the youth. And they need to know how to act and respond when they, you know, deal with situations. And as adults, we need to know how to act and respond so that when they're watching us, you know, they can learn you know, the proper way to handle an issue, the proper way to respond. Because, like I said, they're only going to be babies for a little while, okay? So our youth are watching and listening at everything that we do and say. If we want our children to represent family and self well, community and the world, then we have to make sure we are responding to them in a positive, effective manner. The youth all around the world are watching us. We are their first responders, okay? We are their first responders. They're watching us. Whatever we say, that's what they're going to say, okay? And so we brought Kate McClendon back with us. So we're going to introduce her in one moment. And so proper response. I just looked it up. It says all appropriate and satisfactory or correctly. And response is a reaction to something, a written or verbal answer a reply. And, you know, like I said, it's all about the youth. It's all about the kids. Because they are going to be the recipients of all of our answers that they expect from us. You know, all the responses that they're going to expect from us. Okay, all their little questions, we're going to have to answer them in a proper way because, you know, what we talked about last week, it just really made me think, you know, a lot about, you know, how we perform, how we act in front of the public, in front of others, in front of our kids. I never had a problem with that because I knew that, you know, you have to, you know, do things in front of our kids in a good manner. And I was raised like that. My mom, she demonstrated how she wanted us to be. So she was a very pleasant woman, a very happy lady, very pleasant. And that's what she wanted us to be. She treated people well. So who do our kids learn from? Who do they learn from? They learn from us. Whatever we do, whatever they say, we say, they're going to repeat it. Mm-hmm. Okay. What was that story? Bill Cosby used to say, kids say the darnest things. Okay, and they do. And most of the time, things that they say, they hear it from us, and they say it their way, okay? So, yeah. So, you know, just let's get into this, and let's think about, you know, what proper response is, what it is to you. You know, after we talk about this, and then you can ask some questions and give your remarks, and then we'll have a good show. Okay? All right. So I am going to introduce our guest today, and her name is Sarah Tate McClendon, and she is a proud native River Rouge resident and now proud Detroiter. Sarah Tate McClendon gained her bachelor's in health administration April 2013 from Eastern Michigan University. After undergrad, Sarah worked as a direct care worker for children and seniors, as well as helped her parents as an additional caregiver to her brother while studying gerontology and long-term care. In December 2015, God placed Sarah in education. Her first destination was as a reading interventionist with Michigan Education Corporation. Within 3 months, she was promoted to behavior interventionist with What Cultural Academy. By August 2016, she was then laid off, newlywed, and expecting. Oh, good. She decided to prioritize her wifey and motherly obligations and began to raise her family of four, which includes her husband and their two daughters. Then, in October 2017, Sarah was called back into the schools to be a part-time paraprofessional with East Point School. In September 2018, Sarah started at Dove Academy at Detroit as the pre-K aide sub. However, God saw fit that she be promoted because of her innate leadership and social skills, specifically with the children and their families. By December 2018, she was asked to become the one of the first student advocates, Dean of Culture, for Choice Schools Associates. This position was created so that students not only had a safe space to vent and unwind, but were also able to learn how to implement behavior intervention for themselves. Between April of 2019 and July 2019, she diligently became certified in restorative practices. While at Dove, she was also able to help willing staff implement restorative practices within domains like classrooms, management, cultural competency, and even special education inclusion. In November 2020 at Marian Chapel of Detroit, God revealed Sarah's gifts to her. And since then, she has been directing her on the importance of her spiritual gifts and their alignment with his word. Then she realized that her experiences and yearning for knowledge was for God's glory and not hers. In September 2021, God instructed Sarah to leave Dove Academy and began her own social emotional learning consultation company called Humble Heart SEL Personic H&H, focusing on developing intervention plans that families and schools can implement without professional guidance. Humble Heart SEL Consulting LLC is for families as well as educators and school systems to receive quality information and assistance in restoring our urban school settings through positive responses. She also created a short video series through her benevolent group called POD, People Overcoming Destruction, on YouTube, where she wanted to help others effectively deal with the many life traumas that will arise, specifically grief, which was something she struggled hard with after the sudden passing of her beloved mother in 2015. God allowed her to notice that others in the urban community were just as emotionally paralyzed as she had been. In February of this year, Sarah accepted the call of associate pastor at Runner for Christ Ministries and wants to integrate her deep passion for social, emotional learning and equitable Christian education to help God's people overcome despair. She will be graduating this coming December from Davenport University with her master's in urban educational leadership. Next, Sarah hopes to begin the final phase of her educational journey at Eastern Michigan University with her post-master's certificate in clinical mental health counseling. This upcoming winter, pray for her as she continues to strive and seeks to make a difference in our communities. Wow, that is awesome. Woman after my own heart. Love the kids. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Bring Back the Family.
Hello. I sound so good on paper, don't I?
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
I fell in
Jesus.
Love.
What is going on, Jesus? How are
you? As a woman of my own heart, love the kids and families and represent families so well.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. How are you?
Yes. I'm good.
Good.
I just love about bringing back the family because, you know, I'm looking forward to the family coming back the way, you know, better than what it used to be. Better than what
absolutely.
It used to be. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have a lot to offer to get that started, really. You have a lot to offer. So that's
Amen.
Good. That's using all of your gifts. All the gifts that they are needed, you know. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I totally thank God for those gifts, though. That's totally not my doing. It's totally His. I'm just a vessel. So.
Well, they all go together tonight with the ministry.
Amen.
And everything, you know, it all connects there. So, wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, so, you know, that proper response, it just really it stuck with me. And I got a lot of calls about it, and they just really enjoyed everything that you spoke on last time. And, you know, it's so important, too. I mean, proper response just tells it all. It's direct, and it's, just, you know, it's just something that's catchy. And I was like, this sounds like something that's going to, like, really take off and just go far, you know, that's going to help the parents, and that's going to help the kids as well, because they need to be responded to in the proper fashion, you know, because it's not, they're going to grow up, you know, like I said, the kids are going to grow up one day. They're not going to be babies anymore. And they have to be equipped. They have to be ready to be able to go outside of their circle, outside of their home, outside of their front yard. They're going to be, you know, will be able to travel all over the world. But if they don't know how to respond to people and respond to issues and in the correct way, you know, because sometimes if you respond the wrong way, it could get you in a lot of trouble, you know. It could be detrimental. It could be life-threatening, all of that. And so, you know, the last time we was on the show and we talked about this, is like, you know, I talked to you about it, you know, and, you know, I'm not on Facebook much, and, but it just really, and I was like, okay, now why did this happen? I mean, just the very next day I was challenged on a response, and I was like, wow.
I was challenged just 20 minutes after the show.
Wow.
20 minutes after the show. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And so it moves you. When you get challenged like that, it moves you to do other things, you know. And I was like, okay, is this another push in the back that you're giving me, Lord, to start going on social media and talking about the issues that we're having, you know. And so that's what I did that day. I got up, you know. When I wake up, I just be thanking God that I wake up every morning, you know.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
Yeah. And so I just responded on Facebook about a situation that I had early in the morning where we brought my family brought some vacant lots. And, you know, these lots are out here and they're a lot of people dumping them. And so it makes your neighborhood look bad. And so I had the signs up I had the signs up, you know, no dumping, you know, because they had been dumping. I got the kids in the neighborhood, in the community, to come out and help me clean up the lot when we got them. And, you know, they was happy to do it. And so, you know, if you see somebody out there cleaning, you're like, okay, well, that's going to make my property look well, you know. But people would, like, walk a block on our moat just to put stuff in the lot. And so this one neighbor that's right next to the lot took it upon herself to take trash and all kinds of things down. I mean, it was a half of the block that she walked to put it in that lot. It had her address on there and everything, you know. And so I took it back down there and I told her, you know, I said, you know, the kids in the community took time to clean that lot, and I'm just asking, would you not, you know, dumping a lot? And she said, well, everybody else dumped there. I said, okay, well, we did talk to all the neighbors and asked them not to dump there, and I'm just asking you, would you not, you know, dump there, you know, and you don't put your, you know, garbage in the lot. I said, because there's kids around here. I said, you even have kids. And they should not have to walk to school or come out their yard and see trash in the lot, you know, like that. But she was really, you know, irate about it and just didn't want to, you know, deal with this. Like I said, everybody else dump over there or whatever like that. And I'm like, wow, this is not making any sense. And I was like, wow. So I just, you know, I said, well, just please don't do it anymore. I said, I don't want to have to call to get a ticket, to get you issued a ticket like that. And she was like, well, I don't care. I was like, oh, okay, you know, she didn't care about that. But I just didn't understand. You know, I was kind of distraught when I left there because I just didn't understand that she said, well, I'm the owner here. I said, okay, but she couldn't even distinguish that I'm the owner there. So my property is just as good as yours, and why would you want your kids to see something like that? And so then that's when I was like, God, listen to this response. And that's why I said his proper response is so powerful. And I was like, wow. I said, what if her children are sitting there listening to her, you know, saying it's okay for me to put trash in your yard like that, you know. What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are they going to do? Yeah, how are they going to talk to people when they come to your door politely? You know, and then she had her mom there, and her mom was trying to tell her, you know, well, I'll clean it up or whatever like that. And she kind of pushed her mom aside and just slammed the door. And I was like, wow, this is wild, you know. And so that just kind of stayed in my mind all day, and I was like, wow, that is just really something, you know, that I didn't know that people really act like that because I haven't had a, you know, that kind of altercation before. But, yeah, that's how she described. And I was like, okay, what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean now? And so it, you know, got in my heart to just, you know, display it and tell someone about it, you know. And so, so that proper response is very, very, it's, like I said, it's powerful and it's going somewhere. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a book, a train, a movie. It might need to be a movie so we can really, really get it to know that, you know, our kids are watching us and they learn from us. And if we get a handle on this, then they can grow up healthy. Because that's unhealthy when you talk rude, when you talk nasty, it's just unhealthy. Because where can they go? Where can they go with that attitude? Where can they go, you know, feeling like that? Who can they help? Who will they help?
Right. So when I think about proper response altogether, I think I talked about Hunter with his face. I was asking God what, you know, and I'm usually a preparer. And so he was like, I got something. I was like, what? Because I don't have it. It's 3:30. And so one of the things that God highlighted for me was I struggle with the proper response. I am one of those people that I will say things that I have to go back and apologize to people for later. I said it and I meant it. I'm working on cursing. That's on my list for the year. It's just a human nature to respond immediately. And so that was one of the things that God brought to my attention was that, you know, sometimes we don't even stop to think before we respond. We just respond. And so in entailing a proper response, we have to sometimes, like, wait a second. Because sometimes the other person could be having the worst day of their life, and you're just getting what they, you know, how they're feeling at the time instead of what you're supposed to get. And so as a Christian, I've learned that that God does that because, you know, our proper response is a test for us. And so another thing that I learned is that your proper response gives is like a grade, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, you know, if you consider reading somebody their rights, you know, God's way, then, yeah, it's not. But you could try again. And so that's why, you know, 1 John 1:9 is important. However, sometimes you can prevent from 1 John 1:9. And so sometimes we forget that.
even as Christian parents. It's just like, well, I forgive about it later, but sometimes it's traumatizing to that kid, like you were saying. Sometimes that kid sees everything, and you as the parent have washed it away, but the child has not. And so later on, you're wondering why your child is responding that way, but they're responding based on how you responded years ago. And so that was with Harley. And so Harley is my blended child. So I'm her stepmom. And so we don't specifically like saying stepmom, but I say stepmom to give full respect to the person that gave birth to her. And so we, over time, have developed this relationship, but it did take for me and her to have a proper response to each other. In the beginning, completely terrible. But now we've even got to the point where we can have a conversation about something that has nothing to do with the child. And that is a win because we both come to understand that response. But sometimes, again, you have to understand, you have to wait a second because that person's response could be from a place that you have no idea. Even with kids. Even with kids. Kids can see something on TV. And you do something that they saw on TV, you didn't know they saw it on TV, but now they're trying to figure out how to process all of this. And so sometimes we dismiss kids because we're like, whatever, go sit down. But sometimes we don't help them process things. And when we don't help them process things, that delays their proper response. And that was kind of when I kind of put two and two together, I was like, wow. So you telling your kid that sometimes your kid really needs to talk. Sometimes your child, even as a grown child, sometimes your child really needs to just get it out because you're the person that they talk to. And so, yes, you point them to God and you use the Bible and you point them in that direction, but sometimes they need to hear it out the horse's mouth as well. So if you are shooing them away, even as grown children, because, again, I say it for the world, if our brains aren't developed until 25, are we really putting our kids out at 18? Because then, and so when we don't fully help people process things or even just youth process things, you know, youth make up their own reality. They do what they want to do, and we know this. And so I think if we had a more proactive approach about responding to them and just listening for a second, just for a second, I don't want to super talk a long time, but the other thing that got pointed out was that there were three children in the Bible that made a difference to how stories played out. There was Cain, there was David, and then there was Mary. And so when you think about those three children, which child do you want your child to emulate, to be? You know what I mean? We completely love David. I love David, but David made a lot of mistakes. Do we really want our kids bumping their heads that much, or do we want to get in front of it, even when it's things that you don't like about that child? You know what I mean? The other thing, too, Kathy, before I be quiet, is that sometimes we see things in other children that aren't ours, and we don't know how to respond to that. And I understand everybody's not an educator, but there are things that you see in children that are close to you that you as a Christian should address. And so if we aren't obeying to God and getting the proper response from him, then we're not helping somebody else. We're just, you know, talking about them. I've been accused 1,007,000 times about talking about people, and I've been probably correctly talking about people in life. However, I had to learn that, am I talking about this person or I'm trying to help them in a way that, you know, or do I need to learn to help them in a way that doesn't make them feel offended? And so that's another thing is that when you see somebody that's not properly responding, how do you help them? You know, do you go along with them improperly or do you, like, pray for them and keep it moving? Or in some situations are like that. Some situations is short, sweet, to the point. Other situations, you have the opportunity to change it, or you're there so that they don't respond improperly. And that kind of goes back to being that light and knowing that people are always watching, even God, in a sense, without people being around, literally, God is literally always watching. So, like, what are you that person that is, you know, egging on the improper response, or are you the person that's like, okay, let's help figure this out? Because, again, there are things that you see in children that's 4 or 5 years old that manifest into something horrific later because they didn't know how to properly respond. And so my thing is, if we teach people how to properly respond and we help them learn how to have these responses, then we'll probably be able to save a future. We'll probably be able to mold a generation that we thought was unmoldable, because, of course, God is, he does everything that he wants to do. And so if we're diligently using his word to mold these responses, then he's going to say, okay, I see what y'all are doing. Let me help out, because I know what you're trying to do, and all things work together for you, you know, anyway. So let's get this proper response rolling. I wasn't really a big believer in restorative practices when I first started. It was just another conflict resolution, quote unquote. But what restorative practice does is that it doesn't ask the question why, it asks the question what happened to have this happen. And so that gives the offender, in a sense, a chance to repent, right? And then it gives a chance for the offended to give forgiveness, to learn how to have a proper response to forgive that person, or to just respond properly to that person, so that person doesn't diminish their own intrinsic value. I can go on and on about restorative practice, Kathy. I'm sorry. But that's important, because over time I was able to apply, you know, this different set of positivity, these different expectations of positivity. And so you're like, yeah, conflict resolution, this, that, and the third. But restorative practice really gets behind, and it supports the offender and the offended. And sometimes you're like, well, why are we supporting the person that did it? Well, sometimes the person does it out of a trauma. Trauma, again, you can make some really irrational decisions under trauma. And so if a child comes up in trauma and then you release that child into the world and that child gets no healing in that trauma, you do have somebody that is probably going to make an improper response. Do we always condemn them for their proper response? We probably should not. That's definitely not what Christ wants us to do. And so when I learned this different phase of forgiveness and this different phase of just a responsibility and accountability, I wanted to share it with everybody, because the minute you learn that you can control that, you can have a proper response in an improper situation. I remember watching a video, and this lady was, you know, somebody had killed her son. And so she ended up forgiving the person that did it and was praying over him and everything like that in the video, because, you know, she felt bad because he was going into this system because of his improper response. And sometimes you can be in situations where, I mean, you just feel like it's whatever. And those are the situations where God is like, no, I want you to literally turn to me and tell me what's wrong. The minute that you openly tell God what's wrong, you're going to be able to get direction into what the proper response is. It's the minute that we don't go to God first, that we start making our own responses, that it just starts going south and we end up like Cain. And that's why I love David so much, was because even when he did make the improper response, he turned around and was like, oh, shoot, I got to, you know, and he fixed it. And because of that, God considered him a man after his own heart, because he knew every time that he did something wrong, he had to make it right with God. And then, of course, you think about Mary, and it's like, I want my kids to be like Mary, okay? I need an angel to say that my daughter is holy enough to hold the Savior. I need that. But again, you go back to David because you understand that your children are going to make mistakes. And that's what made him and Solomon's story so powerful. I actually have Solomon down too, but I didn't want to ramble for days. But when we think about children and their responses, think about Cain, David, and Mary. And there were things that could have been prevented with Cain, in a sense. David, there were people that, things that couldn't have been prevented, but we do know in David's situation that there were plenty of situations where he directly turned to God when he did wrong. And then Mary, of course, we know was holy enough to hold Jesus himself. And so what it makes you think about, what was her household like? Where, how was she raised? You know, even if she did go through things, how was it that she was able to go through them in a way to where her response was so proper that she was granted the opportunity to hold Christ? And so think about that when you think about your kids and raising them, and what is their purpose? What are they here for? They'll tell you if you listen to them, but I'm done.
Well, you know, if we want them to, you know, not embarrass us when they go out in the world, they'll be like, whose child is that? You know, like, That's a cyber shout out to acting like that, you know. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, yeah, we have to ask for forgiveness. And like you said, we have to apologize. If it's something that we said out of order, we have to apologize, because then that way they'll learn from that. They'll learn, okay, well, they apologize. I need to learn that. I need to learn how to apologize when I'm out of order about something. And if you got a kid with you, they'll see you apologizing. You know, and then they'll learn, you know, how to apologize and forgive and all of that. So I think that this proper response is just part of a new thing, you know, a new thing that's happening. And the new thing that's going forward, and it's going to be a part of the change that we want to see. You know, it's new things are going to happen. Things don't stay the same. They change. And so I think this is part of what the change is going to be that, you know, that we're going to look forward to and that we're going to work on. Mm-hmm. So it's just work. It's a lot of work to do. It's a lot of work to do, and it's enough of us to get the work done.
Amen. And it's worth it. So why not?
It is. It is. It's something to do. Mm-hmm. If it's something that's going to make, you know, things better, then nothing's wrong with that, you know. Life has to get better. But we have to make life better for the next generation, or they'll just be, you know, they'll stay back. They'll stay back. They won't do anything. It's already, you know, where, you know, we haven't taught them to be caring, you know. And so you hear people and they talk about, you know, the job that some of these nursing homes and things like that, that they don't have anybody to care for these people, or they treat the people, you know, not good, you know. So these are the things that we should be teaching our kids: how to care, how to love, how to share, and, you know, just care about people, period. We've gotten away from a lot of that. We've gotten so far away from it, you know. So I don't know with that young lady that I had the little confrontation with, you know. I don't know. I still want to reach out to her, you know, let her know that, you know, I've seen anything. So that we've been here a long time, and, you know, welcome to the neighborhood, you know, something, because I know she has kids, and I know that we're going to be doing a lot of things in the community for the kids, and, you know, I want her kids to be involved too, because, you know, that's going to be a way to help her and to help them, you know. Not going so, yeah. And then maybe she can learn. And that's how people learn. That's how they learn, if they see us going back, if they see us apologizing, like I said, or talking in a kind of way. Had I gotten irate and started acting the way that she acts, then I would have been out of order, you know. I can't do something like that, you know. So maybe God got on her heart and said, well, golly, that lady didn't say not one unkind word to me. All she said was just don't put no trash in the lot, you know.
Yeah.
Let her know I was concerned about her pockets and her kids and all of that. And I'm not going to call the authorities. I don't want you to get a ticket because that costs money. You need that money for your kids. But, you know, just please don't do that. So maybe, you know, God might have got
And I think
where she,
It's sad to say, but the generation that are raising kids have been, like, traumatized. So, and I only say traumatized because it's been a lot of, especially in the African-American community, black community anyway, it's been a lot of just adversity and just a lot of things that have made us oppressed and made us suppressed within ourselves and not trust each other. And so, because my parents are older, and so my parents are, my dad, he is with him, he's about to be 70 next year. And so it was a difference with my older parents and, like, people's other parents that weren't as old as mine. And so my parents had concepts that other people's parents were literally running away from. And you don't necessarily think they're bad concepts or anything, like, but they're different generational concepts. And so we've gotten to a point, and I, as a parent, as I tell a lot of older people, like, I'm all ears. With my mother being in heaven, I don't have, you know, that direct person to call and say, you know, can you help me with this right now? And so I tell anybody that's a parent, especially in these times, is that when older people tell you things about your children or try to give you advice and stuff, we do have to open our ears to it, because they might be telling it for our own help, or they might be telling it based off their mistakes. And a lot of people don't realize that what mistakes older people have made because of shame or whatever the case may be. But, you know, we forget that they were young with kids and they made mistakes too. And mm-hmm. So that's why when you were saying, like, you didn't say anything unkind or anything, like, she did think about that conversation later. And she like, you know what? Okay. And hopefully, you know, she doesn't, you know, litter anymore or anything like that. And she tells somebody else to stop doing it. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I was thinking about, a seed, when you were talking, is like, you sometimes you don't see the product of that seed. But does that mean that you plant a dirty seed? You know, like, do you plant a bad seed mm-hmm. because you know it's not going to grow? Or do you plant a good seed with faith, trusting God that it's going to grow well? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're right. You got to plant good seeds no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If anybody has any questions, you are welcome to press 1, and you can ask some questions or give a comment. Talk to us, okay? Yeah, so like you said, they don't want any advice. They don't want no one to tell them what to do. and so, like you said, what you have to offer them, they may need it. You know, if they keep closing the door, how are they going to get anything accomplished? You know, how are they going to learn anything different?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with that proper response, you know, this is going to be something new. It's just, I guess it's just like conflict resolution, you know. Once the word gets out there and people hear that proper response, you know, get you some T-shirts or whatever. Proper response, they're going to think about, what is a proper response? Let me think about how I'm going to respond to this, you know, situation. Maybe I can respond better. You know, it's going to get them thinking about a proper response. And maybe have some kids on there, because that's who we're focusing on. We're focusing on the young people, the little kids, the babies, you know, because they're the ones who have to grow up, and that's our future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I get kind of, I don't want to say afraid, but it kind of baffles me, because it's like, you know, kids are like playing Fortnite but can't like write their name properly. And like nonverbal responses are responses as well. So when you, and I'm guilty, y'all, my kids watch TV and play video games. They don't play Fortnite though. I have girls. But you do what you allow them to do is a response as well. What you don't stop them from doing is a response as well. And then what you don't help them express is also a response. Sometimes when I deal with kids, and I tell anybody, I deal with the most difficult children in the most difficult situation on purpose. Because those are the kids that, you know, nobody wants to deal with in a sense. And so I deal with them on purpose, because I want them to understand that in order for somebody else to deal with you, you have to have a proper response. And every child that I deal with that struggles with discipline, they learn some type of proper response. If I could be a little, I could give an example real quick. So it was a situation, and a child ended up getting shot. And so two of the children I had encountered in the classroom, and one of them I did. And I asked God, I said, oh, my goodness, I really hope that, you know, it wasn't our kids. The person that did not go to our school, that had not encountered me for those years and everything, was the one that was the offender that did the shooting. And so, you know, he was disciplined and everything like that. And when I talked to the other two that were there, one of was a victim and one that happened to be there. So he watched the he said, no, you taught us not to, you know, do that. You taught us to leave, you know, that type of stuff alone. And I couldn't do anything but thank God for him saying that, because what if it wasn't my goal in life to be the teacher that teaches proper response? I'm telling you, Kathy, I argue with principals every day because they would like to make me a regular teacher. I'm not a regular mm-hmm. teacher. I want to help people with proper response, and that changes schools. You know what I mean? That changes homes. It changes everything. If when you go to the grocery store, you would like your cashier to be friendly. You would like her
That's
to say
right.
hello. And the cashier wants the customer to say hello too. It goes mm-hmm. both ways, and that's another thing with proper response is that sometimes people respond improperly out of pain, and so sometimes they do need that second to take that back and redo it. Some, you know, if specifically parent-child, if sometimes parents forget the kid's trauma. Sometimes parents, mm-hmm. you know, get, you know, in a place of contentment with themselves that they forget what they've been through. Specifically, and children don't forget what happened, who did it, when it happened, what time. They don't, but sometimes you can mold that perspective for a child when it's a hostile situation or a traumatic situation by completely having a conversation or apologizing or just seeing what the kid felt about that situation at the time. No, you're not going to be able to go through every single situation in life and be able to unwind that, but you definitely don't want a 32-year-old screaming at you about something from when she was 15. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Let me see. Look, I got somebody want to ask a question.
Oh, I ain't looking like
hello,
a but not like
hello,
you
call
either.
You 3555.
Which I thought was irritating. She just told me. He was like, Tara, what is she doing?
Okay. So if you want to ask a question, you're welcome to. And see, 3555, I had your mic on, but I think that you were distracted. So if you want to ask a question, just press 1, and I'll open your mic, but you have to have the background noise down. Okay? 0522. Hello, you're on. Bring back the family. No good. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Sarah, go ahead. Yeah, that's important. You're right. I do like I like service, and I like to be treated well when I go to a restaurant, when I go to a store. So I make sure that, you know, I'm extra polite, extra nice to a cashier or whatever, because if they're not having a good day, then you have to make them have a good day. You know,
absolutely.
And saying, well, how you doing? You know, integrate with a conversation or whatever like that.
Yep.
And then, you know, they'll get to thinking. They'll be like, okay, well, maybe I'm, you know, and then all of a sudden they'll perk up. So, you know, we have to be aggressors and being polite, you know. That person
positive aggression. I like that, Kathy.
Because we don't know what people are going through. And so if we come in with something good, happy face or how you doing or whatever, then they'll be thinking about, oh, okay, you know, let me perk up or whatever like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, you know, it just changed the whole atmosphere wherever you are. You know, me and my brother went to breakfast the other day, and I just love young people, you know, especially ones I see working, trying to work hard, you know.
Absolutely.
And, so when you when they come and greet you, then, you know, you got to really greet them, you know, hey, you know. And by the time we got, you know, the talking with her, everybody around us was happy. Everybody around us was talking and, hey, you know, we know you, and we didn't know these people, you know. And so you have to make atmosphere the way you want it, you know, in order to teach, you know, because these are young people coming to you when we older, and they're coming to you, and if you're rude, you know, then they're learning. They're like, I don't want to, you know, be bothered with these old people acting up. So
I'm telling you, that's why I stopped working in gerontology. I said, old people are rude. I cannot do this. I am a ray of sunshine. No.
You see, when it comes to seniors like that, you have to be real loud. You have to be real loud and, you know, clap your hands loud. Just start
dancing.
I'm
too sensitive for all of that. Here I come with my ray of sunshine. I'm too sensitive. I'm too sensitive for that.
Yeah, you have to make a lot of noise around them. And then they'll be like, oh, okay.
You have to make a lot of noise.
You know, and then they stop clapping their hands when they see you next time.
I'm going to do it next time.
Yeah, you got to make
funny.
A lot
That's
of
a
noise.
Good
one. So they can look at you all, you know, turn their head and be like, what is wrong with her? You know, and the next thing you know, they're doing
That's
what you're doing.
One. That's a good one.
My little great nephew, and he's 9 months old, and so we always singing the Mickey Mouse song, and I just go wild and crazy. It's like, I love it.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
I just go overboard, and so he just gets to bouncing wild, and you know, I mean, he's gonna be a wild baby now.
Yeah,
but they learn.
That's fun.
That's how we love to I like those responses. So, I think it's just going to be powerful, proper response. Mm-hmm. Proper response. What does that mean? People are going to like, oh, okay, I'm going to get you some T-shirts and nationwide, you're going to get you a little platform and start talking about it. And, you know, people will, you know, they catch on. You know, they catch on real good. Yeah, might even be a song. So, hey, keep going with this. I love it.
I will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you like it, Kathy.
I love it. Because it goes with bring back the family. It goes with it. It's a connection there because, you know, we all people. We family, and we need to know how to respond to each other. We do.
Amen.
We need to know how to respond. Mm-hmm. So it goes together. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Man.
So, you know, that's kind of, I just see good things coming with that. Yeah. So anybody have any? Let me see. Well, here we go. 3960. Hello. You are on Bring Back the Family. We have Sarah with us today talking about proper response. Hello, are you there?
Hi, this is Avitra. Good afternoon, everybody. Just to add to, first I want to thank Sarah at our church for taking on basically what Kathy's doing, but, you know, she's doing it in the church, she's doing the VBS and you know, taking on the things with the youth, and it's such a big challenge now because, as you stated, you never know what kids are coming from. You never know what the home environment is, and a lot of kids, they are the parents of themselves and their siblings. And for you in the school system, teachers are everything. Teachers are teachers. They're parents. They're psychologists. They're sociologists. They're caregivers. They're looking out like, can we help them get clothes? They need to get food. They need to do this. They need to do that. So once again, thank you for that, your profession, and for what you do in the school environment and what you do in our church environment. But and to just add to what you're saying, just saying hello. I'm a shopper. I'm a couponer. So and the first thing, if I see somebody stocking and at the store or something, I'm like, hi, how are you doing today? And they're so shocked. They turn, they look, I'm great. Is there anything I can help you with? Anything you need to find? because people don't speak anymore, and they're so rude, and then, you know, and so there, you know, like you said, if you speak to them and you let them in a nice tone and just say how you're doing and whatever, most people, 99% of the time, they will respond, you know, in another friendly tone and back to you and be more help and be, you know, ready to help you out if it's needed. You know, we don't get that all the time. But I would think 99% of the time that we do. So that's all I got to say. No specific questions for you, Sarah. I got your number, though.
You're awesome. Thank you. You're awesome.
Right. Yeah, we have to be the aggressive. And if it stands for that's what it needs at that time, then that's what we have to do. Yeah. I'm older. You're young, Sarah, so you're going to take the rein and run with this. Yeah.
I see.
You know, and if anybody just grab some kids and just do some good things for them, you know, just contribute, just help them. Buy them a bike. Buy them some books. Just anything that you can do to help a kid. You know, if you got five kids on your street, let them know that you love them. Give them some hugs. Buy them some candy.
Right.
Give them, you know, buy a bike. Get some activities going on the street, you know. Take them to a museum, you know. If everybody do something, you know, it'll catch on. So I'm looking forward to all this, you know, working out. Because, I mean, these are God's plans. That's it. And you know all his plans. Go forth.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Anybody have any more questions? You can press 1. And any comments? Okay. Well, Sarah, is anything else that you would like to share with us that can help?
So I was going to share a verse. I'm doing Proverbs. And so I have to teach Proverbs soon. And so I've been reading through Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24 says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. I'm sure I could talk for hours about that. But just our responses really transform people's lives more than we think. Take it in from someone whose parents quote unquote didn't make the best decisions in life all the time. Things were said about my parents that still stick with me to this day. And so they weren't the nicest of things, and they are people that I still see. And so I myself even have to be mindful of the things that I say about other people, because you might be saying about that person could be brushing it off, but their child is absorbing that. And so you don't want to find yourself in a situation where later on you're trying to do some things, especially in a church, where you're trying to do some things and you're trying to figure out why that person necessarily or why that child necessarily doesn't flock to you. Is it because you responded to someone close to them in just a negative way? Or is it because you respond negatively? And again, that is from pure experience. I watched people talk about my parents and the decisions that they were making, and they might have been right for whatever reason or whatever they were saying at the situation, but they didn't think about how me, my sister, and my brother were taking that at the time, or how we were processing that, or did we even know that information at the time. So that was another thing really quick that I wanted to say, because that's where unforgiveness starts. And people ask, why is it so hard to forgive people? Because, you know, sometimes the wound is really deep. Sometimes you said so many things about that child's parent, or so many things about that child's condition or that child in general, that child is just over you. And they respect you for who you are, but that don't necessarily mean that they have to deal with you, and they know that. So when you properly respond, that gives, even when, like, that's why the apology thing is so deep, because sometimes you can get to a place and be like, you know what, I did say that about that girl mama. Let me go back and say sorry for all that stuff. And that's what they need to hear in order for the path to change and for order to God to continue to get glory out of that. Yeah, so that was that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24.
Okay. You know, when we were coming up, you know, our parents didn't let us get in grown folks' business, you know. They had respect for the kids, and the kids had their own business, and they couldn't be around grown folks when they talk. But now, you know, the kids are able to be involved in grown folks' conversations and their drama and everything that's going on, and we're just showing it to them, you know, just out with it. And
So it's very flamboyant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very flamboyant. Go ahead.
I think that's something that could be addressed with this proper response, you know. And so, like AB was saying, that you're going to be starting the kids activities at our church, and they want to be a part of that because we have to get our kids back in church and so that they could get some proper activities and you know, get to know that God is there, is there for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing with the kids came through is that I was sitting in the house, and I'm like, the Lord was like, who you think gonna do it? And I was like, oh, wow. And he was like, yeah, why do you think you're a teacher? Get it together. Like, what's going on, girl? Because I was afraid like Moses. Yeah, I was afraid like Moses, and I still tell anybody that. I'm afraid because I've learned what children need, and I don't want to be that one person that fails a child because of my own inconsistencies with myself. But, again, God is good, and God makes sure that every time I do something, that people are there to make sure that I respond properly. Because, again, I fight proper responses every 5 minutes. The proper response was completely out of the blue, and it was totally the Holy Spirit. So everybody tell him thank you because I would never have touched a proper response because I know how I still respond to things. And that's something that I want to put out there, is that we are not perfect. And so our responses sometimes are not going to be the best, but you need to restore that situation. Don't just put it under the rug and say whatever.
It's all in order. It's your time. And you're at the plate, and it's going to be a home run because God put you in this position. He pushed me in my back, you know, and I was like, okay.
Amen. Right. Amen.
It's all in order. So I just can't wait to see the seeds that are planted that going to sprout up. Good things, and this is going to change. It's going to want others to change. It's going to want people to want to see a better day for our youth. It's not even about us no more. It's not, sure enough, not about me. It's not about me. It's about these kids. You know, that is my motivation. Yeah. That's my love, and that's it. It's all about the kids. Don't need another thing. I don't need another thing. You want to give me something to give to the kids? Come on with it. So, yeah.
Amen.
Okay. All right. This has been wonderful. Do you have any closing things to say to our parents or our youth? You know, if you want to leave them, you can. Let me see. 421. Is this? Let me see. I think someone wants to say something. Hold up. Okay, 3555, you're on. Bring back the family.
Hello, ladies. It's my pleasure to be on with you today. My name is Tara Pierce Johnson, and I am just calling. I think I almost forgot my question, but I do want to say I'm loving the topic today, proper response, because so many times you have conversations with people and you interact with people, and offenses are made, and sometimes people don't even know that they've offended someone just because they didn't have the proper response. So we do have to be careful in what we say to people. I'll never forget my pastor years ago. I was a teenager, and he preached a sermon called Acceptable Words. So sometimes we have to, like Sarah even said, take a moment to pause to find the words to say to a person. So I guess if I had a question, it would be just when you feel offended, how would you suggest a person responding? To Sarah.
I completely love that question. So last Saturday, I preached a sermon, and it was about, you know, the proper response, and it's an acronym called HEAL. So hastily come to God's throne, so completely tell God what's going on. Don't call anybody on the phone. Don't start thinking of ways to, you know, do it yourself. Embrace God's sovereignty, so understand that God is completely in control of the situation, and so that puts you number two. That completely makes all the dependency on God, and God knows that, and that's what he wants. And then you acknowledge that you didn't make the plan. So now you're like, okay, God, it's your turn to make the plan. Let me understand that I'm following your way. And then listen to him. Now, personally, I've done that, and I have to do it in my mind often. But, again, I am a person that responds not well often. I'm learning. And so one of the other things that I would suggest is that sometimes you need to just calm down. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like I use my prayer journal. I have two different prayer journals. I have one for when I'm completely in distress, and I have one for just my all-the-time prayers. You know what I mean? Sometimes you do have to take that extra piece for yourself. Maybe it's coloring. Maybe I need to just stop and, you know, lay in the grass. Maybe I need to just take a break of fresh air. But you have to create boundaries so that doesn't keep bothering you, because what God also does is when he wants you to learn the proper response, you're going to keep taking that test. And that's what I had to learn, is that do you want to keep taking the same test? No, I want to pass this test. And so when you go to God, what do I need, Lord? One of the things that I was depressed. I had postpartum for like 5 years, literally. My daughter's about to be six. And part of it was because my mother was not here. That was majority of it, was that I was grieving. I had to start lavender teas, lavender baths, lavender showers, just aromatherapy. Sometimes you need that extra piece to help you. Sometimes it's therapy. Sometimes you do need someone, the third party, to say, okay, what are your triggers? Sometimes you need to unwind with somebody that completely doesn't know you. And so after you go to God and you're completely honest with God and naked about it, he'll give you those solutions, whether it's those immediate ones or whether it's, okay, let's long-term this. Because, again, my positive responses are, this is a long-term thing for me. So, yeah, sometimes you just have to stop at the moment, literally just stop and be still and understand that, okay, you're right, Jesus, you got it. Because us, we will make up some stuff, try it again, and still be in anxiety and not understanding why. But it's those moments. And I didn't like when God made it that plain to me that the minute you go to somebody else, that's an idol. But that's what he had to tell me in order for me to completely go to him first. Is that the minute you go to somebody else in despair before you go to God, that is your God. That is your idol. And I'm like, oh, no, I like Jesus. So I'm over here.
Right.
If that helps.
Yeah. It does immensely. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Tyra Pierce, niece.
Yes. Yes. That's my auntie.
Yeah. Sorry it took so long. I had turned you on, but it was some background noise. I didn't think you were ready.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I think that was your number, yeah. Thank you for calling, and call back again. Continue to listen.
I will. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, well, that was some good advice, because, you know, just take a minute to just think about it. I know my mom used to say, before you make a decision, before you say or do anything, always take a minute to think about what you are going to do before you do it. Take that minute.
Yep.
Take it. And that's good, because I don't make no decisions. I don't jump to the gun on anything. If something jump off, I just be like, okay, let me just wait and see, you know.
I'm getting there, Kathy. I'm getting there.
Yeah. if something happens or somebody says something or do something, hurt my feelings or whatever like that, I can't do anything until the next day or the next week. It takes me a minute because I think about it. What happened? What did I say? What did I do something? I have to really process it before I can even say anything. And then the bottom line is I said, well, shoot, I'm just going to let God handle that to get it, depending on where
it
is. I'm just going to handle that. It'll be okay. Because you don't always have to say anything. Sometimes you just got to let God handle things all the time, really. And that just takes it off of you. It takes it off of you. Yep. Great, great question and great response. Yeah,
absolutely, good question.
Okay, well, anything else you want to leave your listening audience? I'm going to bring AD in and let her do this job thing.
One thing, if you're really struggling with your child or with anything, like ask somebody. If you don't get the answer that you're looking for, ask somebody else. I'm going to make sure that my information is out there, but I'm on Facebook, Sarah Tate McClendon, and you can message me and I can point you in the right direction if I don't have the answers, but I would hate for someone to feel defeated because they need help with a proper response. So, yep, that's it.
Well,
or Running for Christ to get in touch with me too. So,
all right, Running for Christ Ministries, we'll be on this show. So if you want any information, we will be talking about what we're going to be doing at the church, and you'll be welcome to bring your kids in. And, hey, we're going to change this thing. Yes, we are. Great things are going to be happening. Yes. Okay, thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Kathy. This is amazing. Your show's amazing.
Yeah, we're going to be happy. It's going to be more. You're going to come on again and again and again because I love this. I love it. I love that. It's so relevant. It's just so, it's good. It's tasteful.
Amen.
It really is. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I hope you have a really good week.
Thank you. I will. You too. You too. Yeah. Okay, AV, you ready? AV going to talk to us about jobs and any resources that we need. Come on, AV. You ready?
Hi. One thing I forgot to announce earlier today at church, First Baptist Church in Ecorse, Michigan, they're celebrating their 100th anniversary this Saturday at their church in Ecorse. They're going to be giving, I think it's from 9 to 11. They have 100 hams they're going to be giving away, so to the first 100, and they're going to be giving them out until they're gone. So this. You know, if anybody didn't need a ham for Easter, so there it is.
Ooh.
Okay, so I looked at the announcement I made this morning about the school, about Henry Ford College. So it's not that it's free, so I apologize. I didn't read it. They're not charging you any admission or enrollment fee. So that's what it is. So if you look at that site, it'll bring that up about no admission or, no admission fees and things like that. So I believe TSA is hiring, and they are hiring, I think they're giving like a $2,000 bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it was. I'm sorry, I take that back. Henry Ford, they're having a tuition assistance grant, and it looks like they're going to be charging, I don't know what it is per credit hour, if they're only going to be charging $25 per credit hour, too, also. So I don't know if that's cheap or not. I've been out of school a long time, so I'm not sure. Okay, so USCO in Ecorse, Michigan is looking for an electrician, and the starting wage is $28.25. So I would say go to the USSCO website and then put in Ecorse if you know anybody or let somebody know about that job. Schoolcraft College is going to be running a CNC operational training program. And if you go to their website, you should be able to get information. But the person who is over that, her name is Sandy Miller at the school. Michigan Works is going to be having a virtual job fair April 27th from 9 a.m. to noon. You have to sign up. So I will go to the Michigan Works site, register for their information, and then you can register for the job fair. Also, they're doing free training for advanced machining, healthcare, information technology, transportation. They're offering free training, and some of their programs they even pay while you're in training. And let's see. Sorry. I think that was all that I had. And just a reminder for the rest of this month, anyone that's needing to get their credit report, you can go to the annual credit report site where you can pull all three credit reports, and it's free. So for the next couple of weeks, you're eligible to get it. You're eligible to get all three once a week to the end of this month. I'm not sure if they're going to extend that program because of COVID. They may. And then also for those who have been paying, who have been participating in the college. For those who have student loans, they're extending that until I think October. So you could check into that. So I know a lot of people took the opportunity to not pay their student loans, so they're extending that program too to October. So you can definitely check that information out just to double check. And I think that's all that I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, AB. You're a star. Said TSA is hiring. You go on to usjobs.gov for that. They're hiring. They got a $2,000 bonus that they'll give, a hiring bonus, because then you really need people like everybody else need workers. That's the TSA, TSO, you work at the airport security. And it's on, you go to usjobs.gov. Okay.
Now, Kat, I forgot one thing. I'm not sure. Uh-huh. I can't verify the salary, but I got an article late that's saying Walmart is hiring. They need truck drivers, and they're hiring them, I think, starting off salaries like $85,000. So if you know anybody that drives trucks and they're looking, they can check that out to see if that's true. And if it's not, just let us know. But they are looking for truck drivers. Thank you.
Good deal. And I know U.S. jobs are with 1865, but they say you make really good money, really good benefits. So check that out, usjobs.gov. Hey, we're going to bring on our Pastor Awesome O, and you know that Running for Christ Ministries is celebrating 19 years in his service. Congratulations, Running for Christ Ministries. Pastor O,
say, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey,
wonderful.
Oh, I'm hitting all these buttons. Excuse me for that, you know. One second. I had to finish this little typing I was doing. Okay, there we go. Amen. Yeah, I was listening to the show and getting questions at the same time. But, you know, I was really impressed. I'm always impressed with Sarah because I've watched her from 15 to where she is now. And I've seen and known how much she has gone through and lived with and handled. Okay. And still becoming. And, you know, we searched for a long time for somebody who could have what's needed to take over our youth department in our church because, you know, I just kept praying to God to send somebody. And somebody was already there. That person was Sarah, but the Lord wasn't through preparing her yet. And I'm so thankful to God that the things that I'm hearing, you know, that make good, sensible things that fit our church model, teach and learning and doing. And I'm just so impressed every time I hear her, because I remember and I know, and this is her. And like, she couldn't believe it herself when she said, "Wow, I sound good on paper." I know when I read about me, I'm like, "Lord, who are they talking about?" But it's me. Or when I hear y'all talking about me, and I'm like, "Sound good on paper," or when somebody else is saying it. But I'm really thankful to God, because it's been 19 years, and I was so, so deathly afraid back in 2002 because I didn't know how to do this. I wasn't a church guy. I didn't, you know, I grew up in a home where it was everywhere, but somehow I missed it. And but my mother and father did eventually lead me to Christ. But when the Lord called me to do Runner for Christ, I was sore afraid. I had hung out with the Lord all the time. We was always close since he found me. But when he asked me to do that, I know how serious he is about things he asks you to do, and I know me. And so we came up with a way for me to do it, just follow his will. Sounds simple, but really? Look at Israel trying to do that. But anyway, over these 19 years, everything that he told me and more has happened. I didn't see Bring Back the Family coming. I didn't see that coming. It's just like it came out of nowhere. Because I remembered the scared Kathy who couldn't do 5 minutes without almost needing help. And now have your own show. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. A Bible teacher and all that and everything else that's going on in your life. When I heard you talk about 156 foster kids, I almost went crazy just hearing that. That is some awesome stuff right there. Like Janine Folk say, when I asked her was she able to do everything that she does, and she told me she waited a minute, and then she said she was graced for it. In other words, God just gave her the grace to do it. And because it was a whole lot, and most people don't know, I didn't know my own life until one of our church members wrote me something that talked about all that I do. And I had no idea that I was doing that much until I read that. And like Sarah says, she was amazed at what's on paper, what she's accomplished and what she's looking forward to accomplish. And then that'll get added to the paper. So 19 years, I'm just thankful to God for everything that's going on. I'm really loving coming home on Sunday and getting ready for Bring Back the Family, because this is so vital. And I still believe with all my heart that you have been raised up for these last and terrible days, that God is using Bring Back the Family to do just that, bring back the family. And what I love is how Scripture is intermingled, it's become cohesive with what you're doing. You know, I don't like ministries that try to hide Jesus. If you can't be out, the ministries our church support, they're out front about their relationship with Jesus. Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breakers Ministries, and First Fruit Living Ministries, they're out front about Jesus. And I don't mind supporting that. And now we have Bring Back the Family. It's not a ministry yet, but it probably is. It won't be long before that happens, because I'm reminded of focus on the family. And now God has bring back the family. See, focus on the family, focus on different families, whereas bring back the family focuses on the families right around in the neighborhood. Somebody's focusing on us. And somebody has recognized that without family, see, God started this thing with family. And then the devil came in immediately and started tearing up family. He had Adam to toss his wife Eve under the bus, saying, Lord, when the Lord showed up, this woman that you gave me, she gave me, and I ate. Then the woman learned to toss under the bus, Fury threw the snake under the bus. Well, the serpent that you made, he deceived me, and I ate. Okay, so Satan attacked the family structure immediately. And when you see him come with that temptation, the first thing he did was go to Eve. Because Adam was the head, and then Adam became a passive responder. He became like a telephone pole and just stood there and let Satan say all these things. He heard all these things. He completely agreed with his wife and them two together, even though God hid Adam because he was the one who received the law, okay? But they both decided to go that way. And then Satan shows up again, Cain and Abel, okay? Cain and Abel sowing discord in the family. And then we see it again. Jacob had 12 kids, and you know what that mess was like. Okay? Sowing discord in the family. And that discord he hoped would cause Joseph to kill his brothers when he finally got the chance, but he didn't. He did the Jesus thing, and his brothers remained alive, and we all here today. So, you know, the devil has been attacking families since the beginning and been trying to destroy it since the beginning. But now, since these are the last days, the Lord just had me to put something out about that. But since these are the last days, God is making that, I guess you could say, last-ditch effort to bring the family back, to get that cohesiveness back, not just family in your house. That's first. That's where it starts. Because that spreads out to the community. Whatever happens in that house, eventually is going to happen in that community. So he's going to start in the house, but then he wants the block to be a family. He wants all the blocks on the street to be a family, all the streets in that city to be a family, all the cities in the United States to be a family, all the countries in the world to be a family. That's his goal. I think one of the songs I heard said God is taken out of this world, the Bible, the scripture. God has taken out of this world a people for himself. A people, not a race, but a people. One big, giant, happy family. If you watch Dr. Tony Evans, as I close, you watch Dr. Tony Evans this morning, he went all the way from where we are right now to the rapture, to the seven-year tribulation period, to the millennial reign of Christ, to the white throne judgment, until we all get in eternity. You know, he did his best to do it in 20 minutes, you know, and you've listened to him, you heard him say, I left a whole lot out. Well, that's where we are, and that's what God's program is. So I thank God for you, Kathy, because bring back the family. I thank God that you listened to him and just did it. You remind me of me. I mean, born in the same month, too. Both of us scared. But anyway, you remind me of me. You know, you couldn't hardly believe you even asking me to do something like this. But then you said yes, and you did it. And now you see that God is just making it happen. And he's going to keep on making it happen. And sure as I'm sitting here, one day you're going to become a ministry. A big one. And so there you go. It's what you've been trained to do. You've wanted to do it. You've been doing it, big or little or whatever, but you've been doing it. And so sooner or later, it'll become a ministry, and the next thing you know, it's on the radio and all that kind of stuff. So then you get your T-shirts going, the proper response, you know. Get your merch over here. You'll have merch. Get your YouTube channel. And, oh, Lord have mercy, this thing is getting out of control. But that's a good thing. Like John Lewis say, that's good trouble.
Right. Oh, well, thank you. I accept all of that, all of it. I thought it was already a big ministry shoe. This has been going on since 1961. I was an aunt at 11 years old, so 71, since 1972. So, yes, that's this journey started with all nieces and nephews. So, yeah. Yeah.
Lots of work, lots of work. But, like, it's a good work.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a good work. Plenty of treasure in heaven. And, you know, I was excited to hear the caller that called in and was glad to hear the conversation that was being had because it's a
mm-hmm.
conversation that needs to be had. I mean, we always talk about what it was like when we were growing up, but it was
mm-hmm.
really like that. You could literally sleep with your windows wide open, your door
mm-hmm.
wide open. You can leave mm-hmm. your car windows down all night with the key in it. And the only person who was going to bother was your little bad kids. But other than that, you
right.
wasn't going to wake up in your car gone. You wasn't going to
mm-hmm.
go get your lawnmower and somebody that took it. You know, it just wasn't
mm-hmm.
like that. But now with the breakdown of the family, Satan has attacked the family. And then once you attack the family and you destroy that, then you destroy civilization, and that's his plan. That's his plan,
mm-hmm.
is to destroy civilization. And the best way to do that is to go after the family. Look what we talked about. Sarah talked about David and the many mistakes
mm-hmm.
he made. Okay, but what did Satan attack? When he couldn't get David, he attacked his family.
Mm-hmm.
One son raped his sister. The other son
mm-hmm.
killed the son that raped his sister. Then the son who killed the son and raped his sister tried to take the kingdom and ended up dying for it, even though his father loved him. Then the second son and his father get old and almost in the grave, Adonijah, he tried to take the kingdom. So Satan attacks the family, and what God has you doing is bringing back the family, literally bringing back the family. And it's a conversation that needs to be had, and I just thank God you're willing to have that conversation.
Oh, yeah. I'm just willing and ready to get down in the trenches and everybody get out and help. And, you know, just it's about the youth. It's about, you know, our next generation and what we need to do for them. And so they'll be bringing back the family. We're going to have to show them how to get along with the little boys and the boys get along with the little girls and, you know, grow up and make their own family. So, yeah, it's like a start over, a do-over, a new start, a bogey.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it is. It has to come back. It's not an easy word.
Yeah.
It's not a short-time work, but it has to come
mm-hmm.
back. It's a legacy work. It's work that you'll definitely probably leave. If the Lord keep us here that long, it's definitely
mm-hmm.
a work that you'll be leaving for somebody else to carry on. And that brings you great joy because, you know, as long as life goes on, Satan's going to be around. The only time there'll be peace on this earth is when Jesus reigns for 1,000 years during the millennial reign, and the peace will be there for two reasons. One, he's going to rule with an iron scepter. That means he ain't accepting
mm-hmm.
no sin. Okay, and on the other, number two, Satan will be locked away for 1,000 years. And just think about that. When Satan is locked away for 1,000 years, folks who lived through the seven-year tribulation, I ain't talking about us who got raptured and came back with Jesus to rule. We already got glorified bodies. We in like Flint. We can't lose. But folks who lived through the seven-year tribulation period and managed to not get slaughtered by the Antichrist will come into the thousand-year reign enabled by Christ to live that long, just like Methuselah, 969 years. But they will be mortal. They will still be mortal. And even then, in that perfect utopian society, once Satan is loosed and goes out with his stuff again, he's going to convince a lot of those who were born during the thousand-year reign, okay, he's going to convince them to turn against Christ. Once again, what is he going to do? Attack the family. When Jesus said the son will betray the father, the mother, the daughter, and all of it to death. And what he was talking about is during the tribulation period when a son will turn his father in who got saved. when a father will mm-hmm. turn his son in who got saved, and mm-hmm. a mother will do the same to the daughter, and they will betray each mm-hmm. other. And it's all mm-hmm. based on who got saved. So what you're doing, God, I don't, should I tell them? You've been put on the front line. You've become Satan's worst nightmare. I didn't want to really tell you that, but you've become Satan's worst nightmare. He's trying to tear up the family, and here you come with bring back the family and got Jesus with you. So he
all
can't
right
really
now
do nothing to you, because he come right over there, Jesus be like, what's up, bud? What you looking for over here? Ain't nothing over here for you. So in reality, in the spiritual realm, you got them tore up. You got them all messed up. Why? Because they didn't see this coming. They've been fighting, focus on the family for years, drove them crazy and made them ultra-conservative so nobody really want to deal with them. But here, bring back the family, it's not like that.
Mm.
You know, there's a conservatism, but there's a love. Like they used to have this phrase, compassionate conservatism. And it's there because God is strict, but he's compassionate as well. And so bring back the family, Kat, is bigger, is big. Because Satan them, if you ask them demons, have you heard of bring back the family? They say, yeah, but Jesus over there. So we don't go over there.
What? Get lost. Get lost, Joker. It's all about love. About love. That proper response is going to be a whole big old nice world out here. I love it. It's going to be
a nice world. If we could put a scripture with that and put that on a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I can't do that because that's Sarah's sermon. That's Sarah's. That's her intellectual property. Jesus won't let me rip her off and start the T-shirts because that's something right there.
And she is on it. My niece is working on my shirt right now. And, Sarah on it. She got it. She know what she got to do.
I'm telling you. Ain't that something? One sermon,
mm-hmm.
and God blew it up like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a wake-up call for sure. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's in my mind all the time. Proper response. Now, this in my mind. A lot of people call me about the proper response. I'm like, this is cool. This is just the nugget we needed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is going to go nationwide. It's going to be a nice world one day.
Oh yeah, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then after the devil get out, not so much. But then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the devil and his people wasn't there. And that's what old folks simply said it like this, and I'm gonna get through preaching. Old folks said that great getting up morning. I never understood what they were talking about. What do they mean, great getting up morning? That morning, they talk about when you wake up and the devil ain't around. When you wake up and demons ain't around. When you wake up and you got a glorified body and you got an all the way brand new spirit that won't crap out no more. That you got a spirit that loves God 100%. Not the situation where we got now, our flesh ain't even saved, but our spirit is, and then we caught in the middle, our soul, mind, will, and intellect, or emotions, and we have to decide to listen to our flesh. Well, that will be over with. We will listen to God 100%. We won't ever sin again. That's the day. That's the great getting up moment.
That's the great waking up morning.
I'm telling you.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor O. Oh, you have anything to say about your anniversary? We just congratulate you. And Run for Christ has been a blessing to me, I tell you, because I was looking for a church that really teach, and you know, where you can learn that teach and study the Bible. And I made it there, and I've been there ever since. And it's just so great. Mm-hmm.
I just thank God continuously for the people, because, like I said in the beginning, I was scared to death to do this. I never did nothing like this. I did other things. If you wanted something bad and crazy, I was your guy. But this, no. So he made a deal with me and told me that he was going to go find people who could do all the things I was afraid of, and he went and found people from some of everywhere. People from old Crazy Crystal come from Pontiac. He went all the way up to Pontiac and got Crystal, brought her down here, then sent Maureen over to her job to bring her to the church. So, you know, and now me and Crystal, thick as thieves, both of us, nutty as fruitcake. So I thank him. You know, I don't want to get to naming names because every single one of them, I don't think the members know what they look like to me.
It's just a good team. It really is.
It's a real blessing.
It is. We have a good time over there.
It's a real blessing. They all look like miracles to me because he said they were coming. And they showed up and they showed out and they do everything. Most churches, all they want their pastor to do is preach. And the trustees and the deacons will run everything else. At Runner for Christ Ministries, that's just the way we operate. The preachers take care of the preaching and the majority of the teaching, along with the deacons and deaconess, with taking care of all of that. But every other function in the church is run by somebody other than me. I mean, of course, I am that person, but senior pastor, but it is all those associate and assistant pastors and the deacons and deaconess and those who sit in them pews every Sunday. That's what Jesus told me would happen. So when I see the people, to me, they look like a miracle. The answer to a prayer.
Yeah, well, you know, we love you guys, and hey, we got good teamwork there. I love Christ Ministries. Come on over if you want a black one.
Plus, yeah. I got baby Holy Ghost, so you know I'm straight in the church because I got a bunch of baby Holy Ghosts over there, and then baby Holy Ghost come home with me, so I'm straight.
Right.
Baby Holy Ghost is my wife, for those who don't know it. I call her that because he's been using her since we met to instruct me. So that's why I call her that. One day I said, Lord, it's like I have two Holy Spirits. So that's where that came up, baby Holy Ghost.
Right. What they call it, John Mack called it 7 feet.
That's what I'm telling. You know, the reason he say that is because she's so firm and she's so intentional and no fear, you know, that kind of thing. John, like, I'm 10 feet taller than you and you talking to me like, but, you know.
Yeah, good deal. All righty. Well, hey, thank you, Pastor. Oh, you always come through.
Yeah, yes, thank you. God. You made me get emotional, though.
That's okay. It's worth it. Yes. Get emotional. That's all right. Well, that is bringing back the family. And we did it again today. And we look forward to doing it again next week. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family. If you want to be a part of it, be a part of the change that is taking place, and you want the best for your youth, you want the best for the youth all over the world, you know, tell somebody about Bring Back the Family, you know, be the change that we want to see. We want a change in our youth and in our communities, you know. There's a lot going on with our youth. And they deserve a chance. They really do. They deserve a chance. And so it's up to us to do all that we can to give them what they need to make it. Then they could get lost. We just got to do our part to get them where they need to be, and then they can get lost. You won't have to worry about them no more. You won't have to worry about them. They can invite you down to their home, wherever they go around this world, and you can go on vacation. So look forward to, you know, if you have kids, to them being able to get lost, you know, and you giving them what they need to make it, okay? Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims later. Okay, does that make sense? All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I see you, Cynthia, Texas, and thank Ms. Pierce and Tara. Thank you guys for tuning in, and everybody that's tuned in today, just thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ella. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, AV. Just thank everybody for tuning in, and Deacon Tate, Sir Charles, Terrence, just thank everybody for tuning in today. Sharon, Ms. Abraham, just thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you next week with Bring Back the Family. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later.
Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need Take the baby.